new session. Give me your priorities as you take a look, first of all, for your ag constituency.
Yeah, so I'm very honored again to be able to serve my neighbors in southern Minnesota. And, you know, I take, you know, somewhat of a simple approach to my work here in Congress, and that is just to use my two ears more than my one mouth. And I spent the last year on the campaign trail and talking to my neighbors and really listening to my neighbors. And I heard loud and clear that there was a big concern about the future of our country, whether that was stability in our ag sector, you know, opportunities for us to have more markets, more access to markets, more stability on our risk management tools, like crop insurance, a more stable input side of things, but then also more, you know, more profit opportunities on the market side. I also heard loud and clear from the voters and my neighbors in southern Minnesota about the need for us to get serious about securing our border, securing our country, you know, stop the political theater when it comes to the southern border and the illegal immigration problem that we have in this country. And I heard loud and clear about, you know, just the basic economy and tightening our belt and spending wisely and making sure families have the opportunity to succeed. So my legislative priorities are going to be really focused around those issues.
Congressman, we've had two extensions of the 18 Farm Bill. Farmers are anxious to get something locked down, as you know. Chairman Thompson's been optimistic we'll get something done early in the year. How likely is that from your viewpoint?
Well, I mean, I think the urgency's there. You know, those of us from ag districts and, you know, me being a farmer myself, I use every opportunity I can here in Washington to talk to my colleagues about how, you know, the extension and the disaster aid supplemental bill that we passed right before the end of the year, that was just Band-Aids. That didn't fix anything long-term. That didn't provide us the security and the long-term planning tools that we need, and we need to get on this sooner rather than later. You know, the change of leadership in the Senate will be a refreshing start, kind of a recharge to the conversation. And the good news is in the House, you know, we did quite a bit of work, and we passed a bipartisan bill out of the Ag Committee. I think that's going to be a good starting point, so we're not going to start from scratch. And I think there's going to be some momentum on our side to move sooner rather than later. And you know, as you looked at how the end of the year went in the 118th Congress, you saw the Farm Bill extension for another year through the end of September, but you also saw the $10 billion+ of disaster aid or supplemental aid that really showed that Congress does understand that there is a problem in farm country right now, that we have depressed markets, we have no ag trade to speak of in this country, and we have input costs that have been crippling us. And so, you know, the disaster aid program that's going to provide about a one-time almost $44 an acre for corn, $30+ for soybeans, is obviously going to be a little bit of a shot in the arm to help us through this. But there is no farmer in this country that wants to farm. For more, you know, disaster supplemental programs. We want security, risk management tools, and we want more markets, a better price at the market. And then, quite frankly, you know, let the government get the heck out of the way and let us farm. And so that's what the Farm Bill will allow us to do. And I think that the attention that we got from legislators from all over the country, you know, we had E15 in the bill right up to the almost bitter end, which would have been a pro-market type answer to some of the problems that we're faced with right now. I think you saw momentum build, and we're hoping to carry that through here in the 119th.
You've worked closely with Minnesota Representative Angie Craig, now ranking member. Do you see that as something that can help us with some of the things we need in Minnesota for agriculture?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely going to be beneficial for us. You know, we're going to have a more engaged Democrat ranking member on the committee that, you know, obviously understands Minnesota issues, understands upper Midwest agriculture, and, you know, quite frankly, agriculture across the country. And, you know, what we ran into in this last Congress was, quite frankly, a problem in getting the Democrats to the table to move on things. So, you know, for instance, the Democrat chair in the Senate, Stabenow, she took over 180 days just to get a farm bill out, and it wasn't until after the election that she put a farm bill out. And so it provided no opportunity for negotiations, no opportunities for, you know, the community at large to weigh in on the pros and cons of her bill. And now, again, we have this new refresh, new start, and we see new people at the table. You know, Senator Klobuchar as the ranking Democrat in the Senate, and then Representative Craig in the House will bring a new, fresh energy to the table. And I've talked to both of them, and they're excited, and they see and sense the urgency that we have in farm country, and so they want to engage, you know, right away. And I think that'll be very helpful for us to move a farm bill sooner rather than later.
Congressman, President-elect Trump has advocated for one, maybe two bills to really all-encompassing debt ceiling, border security, energy, a lot of different issues, taxes. Do you see that as the right approach?
Well, there is a certain amount, a sense of urgency, right? So, I mean, I think, and I don't like to use the word mandate. I like to use the word responsibility. The American public gave President Trump the responsibility to fix a lot of these things that are broke. And he heard loud and clear that the border, the economy, and some of these issues were of the utmost importance to voters. Reconciliation is a tool that, I mean, essentially Congress passes a budget, and then we have to reconcile our spending towards that budget. And the one bill approach really, I think, provides an opportunity for us to make sure that the 2017 expiring Jobs and Tax Act that President Trump championed, and quite frankly, that all of America really benefited from, the one bill approach allows us to do all of that, you know, reconciling the budget, but also then extending or making permanent those tax cuts are really important to kind of jumpstart the economy again in this country, to make life more affordable again for families all over America, and really get the, you know, the pro-private sector economy turning again and get out of this funk that we are in a country, kind of this post-COVID hangover of still uncertainty in markets, uncertainty in supply chains, depressed markets, and this is going to be the jumpstart that we need. So I think speed is of utmost importance. I think there's going to be a strong push for us to show the American public that, you know, that we understand the responsibility that we have here and that we need to move quickly on it so we can start, again, you know, getting this economy going, getting the border fixed, and extending, and if not making permanent, the tax cuts that families and businesses have used, co-ops have used, and then we can start to see more investments again in common sense things that provide more market opportunities. You know, clean up the tax language on 45Z, which allows our ethanol and biodiesel producers to play in the sustainable aviation fuel markets, which would provide billions of gallons of opportunities for us that we do not have right now. And that will mean a better price for corn and a better price for soybeans for our farmers.
I want to be conscious of your time. Just one last question on that 45Z. That was part of Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. Certainly Trump not in favor of continuing those things. Would we be able to preserve that in the new administration?
Yeah, so I mean, there were some things in the Inflation Reduction Act that actually were Republican, you know, held ideas and principles, 45Z being one of them. That's a tool that our agriculture industry has been able to use to create some certainty for some investments that need to happen. The problem with the Inflation Reduction Act is and quite frankly, it's a problem that has hampered Congress for years, is that we let the regulatory state, you know, dictate the outcomes of how the implementation of these things go. And so as you look at 45Z, it is a great opportunity and a great tax tool to see new investments for our farmers and our ag communities, to invest in technologies that provide opportunities for new markets. But what we saw happen with the Inflation Reduction Act is we saw the EPA and others slow roll the outcome of that policy. We saw, quite frankly, bureaucrats with political motives try to insert terms into it. And, you know, for instance, saying that farmers that would participate in that 45Z program have to have no-till or cover crop practices on their farm. I mean, that's a one-size-fits-no-one approach. And so it's our opportunity right now to clean up some of that mess and make it very clear and easy to use, easy to leverage, and create economic opportunities quickly. And so there's going to be some pieces out of it that I know a lot of us are going to fight for. You know, it was one of those things that I think the idea is a great idea, that the tax tool is a great tool, but the implementation was a disaster, and we can fix some of those things through the reconciliation process, and that's what I will continue to fight for.